us to turn to the 92nd Psalm. I'll read from the 12th verse. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now, I brought a message some time back from the second chapter of Peter, or second Peter, the second epistle of Peter, the third chapter and the 18th verse. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I got maybe halfway through with that on the subject of growing in grace. So it's in my mind and in my heart to talk more about that tonight. About growing in grace. There are some essences to this. It isn't just a theory. It isn't just talking about grace and striving to increase in grace. But there's some spiritual essences involved in it. And we have to come God's way and submit to God. Make a definite commitment to Him to actually grow in grace. Seems that some folks never grow much. And many people just miss the mark of spiritual growth and development altogether. And when they have been professing Christianity over a number of years, they're just about where they started. Now this text says the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and grow like cedar in Lebanon. The palm tree grows to great heights. The cedar of Lebanon has great spread. The Lord, it seems, picked out the highest tree and the widest tree to convey to you and me the idea of the Christian's growth and of our development in the spiritual life. They'll flourish like the palm tree. Who's going to do this? Who's going to flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon? The righteous. But who are the righteous? The first thing I want us to take note of is that God wrote the Bible. I accept it as written by God. He had men to write it, actually. But I believe that the men who wrote it, the Spirit of God, had a hold of their hand guiding the characters while they were being formed. And it's all the same to me as though God wrote the Bible. Peter said that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost guided those men. Therefore, I consider that the Bible expresses the thoughts of God and not just the thoughts of the writer. Therefore, I consider further that when he spoke of the righteous person here, he wasn't speaking of the world's standard of righteousness or men's standard of righteousness, but he was speaking of righteousness in God's sight, how God considers righteousness. Paul said that he might be found in him not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness of God, which is through the faith of Christ. Now, when a person obtains an experience with God, a real born-again experience, a real infusion of something in his soul from God, it's because that he has put his faith in the merits of the shed blood of the Son of God and repented of his sins and pled mercy from God on the basis of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And when he does this, God has respect to that. And because of that, God will do a work in his heart that changes his heart and that makes him righteous in God's sight. The scripture says that Jesus Christ is made unto us righteousness. God counts us righteous in Christ. That's the only place he counts us righteous, is in Christ. But he has become our righteousness, and God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, a person that's had this experience, it puts them in a position and roots them down in good soil where they can actually grow. Grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The righteous, God's righteous people, shall flourish as the palm tree and grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Not those who just join there. You can't join us, I'm talking about anyway. But people join things today. But those people never flourish very much in their spiritual lives by joining. And it isn't people that just say, I like you folks here, I'm going to settle down with you. Or people who say, I enjoy the truth that you folks preach, and I'm going to settle down here until I find something better. I noticed that Brother Lynch said in his prayer, said, we want to be satisfied in serving God. I hope we all are. I hope we're in a relationship with him that we're all satisfied serving God. But you take a person that's satisfied, he's going to settle down right there. He's not going to be wandering around looking for something else. He'll not have an attitude, well, I'm going to stay here till I find something better. He's satisfied with what he's found. And people who are actually born of the Spirit of God and enjoying the blessings of a full and free and uttermost salvation, saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, their souls are satisfied. They're not wandering around. They're not looking around. They're satisfied in the service of God. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's a solid foundation. That's a sure dwelling place. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, it didn't say it wouldn't prevail against the people. The gates of hell has prevailed against many people. But he said it wouldn't prevail against the church. The church is something solid and steadfast, stable. And you can depend on that. But now I've seen folks that come among us, you have too, and it just looks like they're going all the way today. They're just out running. But they run out after a while. They don't last. I've seen people that come among the saints and they say, "I've worshiped here and I've worshiped there and around and around." I knew one man said he'd worshiped with 35 different denominations before he ever found the saints. And he showed it too. He had a lot of confusion in his mind. You pick that up, you get to wandering around, you pick that up. And they say, "Well, I think there's more truth here than anywhere I've been, and I'm going to settle down here till I find something better." But they don't stick. You don't find folks that talk like that staying. Sometimes they say, "I like the atmosphere here better. Just plain, common, humble people. I like that. I'm going to settle down here till I find something better." But they don't stick either. But you take a person that's actually had an experience with God, and God has accepted him and wrought his work in his heart and planted him in the house of the Lord. God added him to the body. He said that the Lord added to the church such as were being saved, and God set the members in the body as it pleased him. God added him and put him in there. God's the one that knows the hearts of all men. And he knows who to put in and who not to put in. And you take a person that God has accepted and he's had this experience with God, and God has revealed light and truth to his soul. He's had a revelation of the church of God. He knows what the body of Christ is. God has revealed light and truth to him. You take a person like that, you've got a hard person to move. He's going to be pretty solid, pretty steadfast. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, but the church is filled with people like that. That's the reason that the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And he said, "They that be planted in the house of the Lord," excuse me, "shall flourish in the courts of our God." Now, God's a master gardener. He knows how to plant a tree so it'll grow. He knows how to develop a garden that will be fruitful and he can rejoice in it. And he said, if he plants you in there, you're going to flourish in the courts of our God. That puts a person in a position, planted in that kind of soil, irrigated with the streams of the water of life, flowing out of the river of the water of life. The Word of God says in the 46th Psalm and verse 4, He said, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. And God has an irrigation project whereby He irrigates to the farthest corners of His garden and of your soul and of the church. And He plants us, He prepares the soil, He waters us with the waters and dews of heaven, and He enriches our souls with His grace and with the divine virtues and graces of God till we can just flourish in Him. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God help you and me that we'll never be satisfied with just living, but that we will reach out and strive to live abundantly in God. Increase, increasing all the time, growing all the time, adding all the time, never stop adding. Adding grace to grace and virtue to virtue and strength to strength and faith to faith and victory to victory. Always abounding in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now He says, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. I've mentioned before now about Brother Fred Pruitt, Papa Pruitt. And he wasn't exactly a beautiful man when I first knew him. He got to looking better later on after he filled out some more, but when I first knew him, he was real thin and his cheeks kind of sunken, and he wasn't all that beautiful, and he wasn't rich at all. He and I went on a trip together one time and had a little car trouble and had to pool together all the money we both had to get the car fixed and get on to where we were going. So he wasn't rich, and I heard him say in one of his messages, and I picked that up and carried it along, he says, I'm rich, fat, and beautiful. God beautify the meek with salvation, that's what he said. And he was rich in the grace of God, and fat and flourishing in the courts of our God. Now you and I can be that way, whatever we look like, or whatever we have in our pockets or in our bank accounts or whatever we don't have, we can be rich, fat, and beautiful. I've seen some lives lived by some pretty homely people that was a beautiful life. They were beautiful people. Not physical beauty, but beautiful through the grace of God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. And I've seen that too. I've seen people in advanced years just ripening up for heaven. Sweet, beautiful, abounding in the grace of Christ. That's wonderful. But now, if you want to be that way in your old age, you have to be developing that now. Rooting down in God and spreading out in Him now and drawing of His graces and of His divine virtues in your life, that they'll be there when that time comes. We must make a definite commitment to Him and keep that commitment. Now He said, all of this, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. God's just working righteousness and uprightness. And he says he brings this to pass. This is all a work of God to show that God is upright. And there is no unrighteousness in him. And that brings him to focus the text in the 23rd Psalm, where the psalmist said, "Lead me in the path, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, to glorify him, to show forth his abundant grace in me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." We all like the idea of spiritual growth and of development and increase in our spiritual life and in the divine virtues and graces of God. I like that too. But there are strings attached to it. There's some experience that we must have, and there are some roots that we must take. The scripture says in the second chapter of Colossians, it says, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Rooted and built up in him. In the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, verses 7 and 8, he said, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Now this is describing a rich, flourishing, fruit-bearing, glorious life and experience. Says a man's like that. But that man is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. We have to have some attachment to God for all these things to come to pass in our lives. And for our lives to be rich and beautiful, there must be some roots down in God and in the faith. The faith in that text does not refer to the action of the soul that reaches out and hangs on to the promise of God and brings it in and puts it to work for you. He's talking about the doctrines of God's Word there. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, in the doctrine, in the truth of God's Word. My text says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And we need to be men of the book and looking into the book and absorbing it and receiving it into our hearts and lives and rooting down in it, into the faith, the doctrines of God's Word, till they're an actual reality with us. Amen. And then we can draw the essences that our souls need to actually grow and develop in him. Now, he said he'd be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. The heat won't affect him. Heated trials won't affect him. Persecutions won't affect him. His roots are running out by the rivers of the water of life and drawing the substance and the grace from there, till he just stays flourishing and green all the time. In the first psalm, the first three verses says, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The good news I bring you tonight is that there is an experience that you and I can reach in God and settle down in Him and root down in Him and in His Word and in His truth, receiving and accepting and absorbing the principles of truth in God's Word till we won't wilt under trial, pressure, persecution, or whatever. His leaf will not wither. He says his leaf will be green. He'll not be careful in the time of year of drought. Neither shall he cease from yielding fruit. Now, I was thinking about this word careful. And there's another reference to careful in the 4th chapter of Philippians, verse 6, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, here it is, you can be green, your leaf green, you can be flourishing right on, the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, I understand from that God would have you and me free from care, free from worry, free from anxiety, free from burden, free from distress, just trusting Him, the living God, in every phase and area of our lives. And then we can be kept at peace, we'll not wilt under pressure, and we'll not cease from bearing fruit for God. We can bear fruit right on for God, whatever our situation. In the 52nd Psalm, in the 8th verse, he says, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercies of God forever and ever. That's the reason I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God, because I'm trusting in the Lord. The Word of God says that the just shall live by faith. That's the way the saints live. That's the way we fight our battles. That's the way we resist the devil. He says, whom resist steadfastly in the faith. We fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. The saints are saved by faith, they're sanctified by faith, they're healed by faith, they're kept by the power of God through faith, they walk by faith, they live by faith, and it's just faith. Fight the good fight of faith. It's just faith, first, last, and all the time. And the psalmist said, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Because I'm trusting in the Lord, I'm like that. In Genesis, the 49th chapter, verse 22. Now, in this case, Jacob is blessing all of his children, and he tells how it's going to be with all of them. And in this verse 22, he comes to Joseph. Now, Joseph was his next to the youngest son. And I was just thinking this evening as I sat over here in my seat about Joseph. And he was the most handicapped one of the bunch. His brethren all hated him. And he wasn't in a very cheerful surroundings. His brethren hated him till they would have killed him, only they decided we can get a little something out of him and we'll not be guilty of killing him. And they sold him. Sold him into slavery. So Joseph's lot wasn't a very good lot. Wasn't very pleasant. At least at home. We think that we have to have things going our way for us to be happy and joyful and have the blessings of the Lord in our life. But it isn't always that way. If we have good roots in Him and in His Word, it isn't always that way. Now he said Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Now, right in the midst of Joseph being the least esteemed among his brethren and them hating him, and the Bible says that they reached a point where they could not speak peaceably with him. They just hated him that much. They couldn't say a peaceable or a good word with him at all. He was a very despised and hated person. Joseph is a very good type of Christ. Follow him all the way through. He's a very good type of Christ. And his brethren hated him till they couldn't speak peaceably with him. But Jacob had to pronounce a blessing on him anyway. He said that Jacob is a fruitful bough by a wall whose branches run over the wall. Now I'm told that in a vine, I guess it's pretty much that way with a tree too, because they claim that when you water a tree and you should have the ditch that carries the water out to the drip line of the branches, the tip ends of the roots run out to there as far as the branches do. And in a vine, that the roots run out as far as the branches of the vine run. The roots underneath. Now Joseph was rooted down in something, and I believe that as we follow his life through, it'll be evident to us that he was rooted down in something. And in solid principles and in God and in his trust in God, he was rooted there. And they couldn't contain him. He said his branches run over the wall. Now it's an established law, at least custom-wise, I suppose. I'm told that if you've got a fruit tree growing on your side of the fence, but the branches go over the fence, your neighbor can pick that fruit over there. That's on his property. And I think that's an established rule of thumb anyway that they go by. Part of the tree's over, branching over and extending onto his property, and he can get the fruit on that side of the fence. Now Joseph was down in here, but he was so rooted and his roots running right on out, and the wall wouldn't stop his roots. and it wouldn't stop his branches. He just went on out over the fence, and folks could pick fruit off of him outside too. And I pick fruit off of him. You do too. We all pick fruit off of Joseph. The Bible says, Proverbs 11:30, that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And God has so ordered that you and I be fruit-bearing people for Him that the people around us can pick the fruit off of our lives and eat it, and it'll prove life to them. And I picked fruit off of Joseph's life, and so do you. It ran right out over the wall. It couldn't be contained within that wall. I think over here in the 80th Psalm, there's another text referring to this that I want to notice. In verse 8, he says, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it." Now that vine that God brought out of Egypt was Israel. The children of Israel, and he cast out the heathen, the Canaanites and all the otherites out of the land of Canaan, and planted this vine in the Canaan land. Thou preparedst room before it and did cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. Now he brought this vine out of Egypt, the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and took the heathen out of the land, cast them out and planted it in their stead in the land of Canaan, prepared room before it. Oh, if we could just get an idea of the spiritual growth and the room that God has prepared for children of God to grow in and expand in. We sang the song in the beginning of the service, "Press on, press on to what's before us." Folks, there are great things before us. There are higher heights and deeper depths and longer lengths and broader breadths than we have ever realized as yet, if we'll just go out and get it. The world is teaching our children today. They are taught from the time they enter school as just little children in the first grade. The world's yours if you can take it, assert yourself. Well, that's a bad and dangerous doctrine in that area, but in this area, it applies very beautifully. All of this room that God has prepared for the expansion and growth and development in the spiritual life, it's yours if you can take it. Assert yourself. Just go after it. Just keep reaching out. I see the matter of spiritual growth like one man said about the study of music. He said there's just one end to the study of music, and that's the beginning. You can go from then on. And that's the way it is in spiritual growth and development. There's just one end to it, and that's the beginning. That's where you start. From there on, the sky's the limit. Just keep going. Keep growing and increasing and expanding in your spiritual life and in the knowledge our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, "Thou preparedst room before it, did cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land." Growing, growing, growing. Expanding, reaching out, filled the whole land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it. You remember Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven that way. He said the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed which a man took and planted in the earth, which indeed is the least of all seed, but when it is grown, it becomes a great herb, the greatest among herbs. One writer says it becomes a tree and the fowls of the air lodge in the branches of it. I believe that Hosea had something to say about this also in the 14th chapter of Hosea, verses 4 and 5, or 5 and 6. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, cast forth his roots as Lebanon. Now that's us, spiritual Israel. He may have been speaking concerning literal Israel here, but literal Israel is a type of spiritual Israel. And Israel after the flesh is a type of Israel after the spirit. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. Folks, God wants you and me to be growing and flourishing, becoming a great herb or a tree that people can abide under our shadow. They can find refuge with us. They can obtain comfort and consolation and grace by their association with the children of God. God wants you and me to be in that situation that we can be a blessing to the souls around us. Just like Peter said to the lame man at the gate of the temple, he said, I don't have silver and gold, but such as I have, I give you. God help us to have something to give people, something to bless them with. Some of the good, fresh, luscious fruits of the Spirit growing in our lives, that they can pick that fruit and it'll prove life to them. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And they can find a shelter from their woes in the presence of the saints and among the children of God. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. They that abide under their shadow. God help you and me to have something to impart to people, to be a healing power and influence in people's lives. Every one of us are creatures of influence. God's word said, no man liveth to himself. We're touching other lives. We're affecting every life we come in contact with. We're influencing people. One thing that life is, James asked, what is your life? One thing it is, it's a wave of influence. And as you and I live in this life, we set in motion an influence that'll never end. It'll just keep rolling on and on till it breaks on eternity's shores. And it'll keep affecting other lives. My life and yours, every one of us, is a permanent contribution to the cause of good or the cause of evil, however we're living. Whatever kind of influence we're establishing and shedding out from us, it's permanent. It will go on and on. So we want to have something emanating from us that'll be a blessing to the people around us, be a help to them, food for their souls, strength for their life, comfort and consolation in trials, or grace for their trials and for their troubles and their sorrows. God wants every one of us to grow. And there's no place for us to stop growing. Stop growing and you stagnate. That's what we have now. That's what they tell us about this weather. But the air down here is stagnating. And that's what's producing all this fog and this silver thaw. The paper today said that 2,000 feet up above us, the temperature is 50 degrees. But we're socked in here with this and just, the air is just stagnating. Well, that's bad. But it's bad when people stagnate spiritually too. And that's what happens to you when you cease to grow. When you come to the end of your spiritual growth, you're going to stagnate right there. So you and I must keep fresh, flourishing, growing, keep that new man new, keep adding faith to faith and victory to victory and grace to grace and experience to experience and promise to promise. And just keep expanding and going in our spiritual life and in the things of God. Amen.